Black rock, black rock t-shirt. Black rock, black rock t-shirt.
No, but that was funny. What Kyle said, always for my first piece of advice is always model. Always be modeling. Brandon Beat, my friend Brandon Beat, was like, the other day I saw him at Woody's and he's like, dude, you're always putting on a show, aren't you? You're always putting on a show. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, are you even putting on a show when you're crossing the road when you're running, dude? He's like, you're like this. You're like this, and then you go like this, and then the car stops, and then you like walk across really fast. It's kind of weird.
I love that kid.
He's a cool dude. Mm-hmm.
He was a sound boy yesterday.
Yes. We're in the Jeffcast world.
Wow.
Look who's here. Look who is here. Mr. Kyle Wareham from Three-Legged Fox.
Yep.
And the most recently formed Pretty Darn, and then the more recently formed Soundboy, and then the even more recently formed band named Kevin. What's up, guys? Welcome to Jeffcast 7. We're going to talk today about music for once. We haven't really talked much about music. And today I thought it would be interesting to have Kyle come on and answer some of my own personal questions about the struggles of where music consumption is heading, I think. So everybody's talking now about iTunes going away, and I know you always kind of make fun of me when I talk about iTunes. Because you're like... Because you're like, dude, Spotify. I mean, and you know, I know there's other people that listen to Pandora, but Spotify is your world. Wouldn't you say that's kind of your world? The world of Kyle is, Spotify is ruled by King Kyle.
No.
No, but I mean, as far as locals are concerned, I feel like you're the most knowledgeable guy about things that start with a letter K.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I definitively know anything about anything, but I've been doing making and marketing original music for a long time.
Like longer than 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Probably like 12 or 13 years. And I remember when Spotify first came out. But it's not even Spotify versus Pandora versus Apple Music. It's just pretty much streaming online from an app on a phone is the way that music, I think, is primarily digested by people nowadays.
Yeah.
As opposed to downloading.
Well, you know what I thought was really cool is the other night at the gig when Meredith's parents are from, they're from near Philly. And then they said, well, who's this gentleman? This is Jeff. And they're like, oh, hey. And they're like, well, who's this? And then Meredith goes, well, they're both from Philly. And then, well, this is Kyle Wareham, and they were like, whoa, what? Like, and then I heard her say, to our sons, you're a rock star. And to a lot of people up there. And so the first thing I think that we need to, that we want to mention is that you spent a lot of time, like, literally on the road. People say, like, ah, man, I went on the road this weekend, man. I did some shows, man. I went on the road for 2 weeks. I mean, you were on the road for years. Not gone for years.
Yeah, yeah.
You were on the road traveling with a band.
Yeah. I mean, I started that band, and probably within 2 years, we were doing just weekend warrior stuff, you know, right. Leave for 3 days and play within a few hundred miles of Philly and come back and do that every weekend. And then we started going out for a week at a time, and then 2 weeks at a time, and then a month at a time, 2 months at a time.
Oh, wow.
And kind of just like, it's the spiral. So kind of just every time we'd spiral out a little bit further, stay out longer.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I'd never heard this story. I love this. I love this story. I love hearing about this. Because when I would do it with Low Country Boil, it was like, We'd play in Richmond one night, which is 8 hours from here. We went, there's, down south, it's I think, different, you know, like, even when, like, someone like Ozzy will come around, you have to drive 5 hours. It doesn't, Ozzy is an it now. Ozzy doesn't come to Charleston or whatever. I mean, ZZ Top or Willie Nelson will come to Savannah, but, you know, I feel like up there, you're going to New York, you're going to maybe Vermont, you're going to cool, I don't know how cool Ohio is, but.
Yeah, we would actually come down south a lot, because for the type of music that we were playing, which was considered, I guess, reggae, rock, Florida was a really big market for us, so we would come down, we would leave Philly and do like, you know, Baltimore, D.C., Richmond, then skip kind of this whole area, and then straight Florida. we could do 10 days in Florida.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, easily.
Huh. See that? Yeah, and so I think the point I was trying to make when we started talking about, you know, you didn't just move down here and, you know, people are, like, there's people whispering, like, about Kyle, like, oh, man, he came down here, he actually makes money, like, streaming music. And I was like, no way, man, no way. But the stuff that I'm not putting, and I don't think a lot of people put together, is you were there when Spotify started. And so you were out building this fan base with Three-Legged Fox, but still, the way that you orchestrated the pretty darn thing is a pretty cool, it's a pretty interesting thing to me too. I mean, you just moved down here and you started a band that sold the roasting room out four times.
Yeah.
Four times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and that ticketed event kind of thing, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, not playing a lot of shows in public, and then ramping up to a show out, you know, or, you know, and you guys have done some big shows on Hilton Head, too. But I think that's a different kind of topic, but you are getting... So you're putting out new stuff. Mm-hmm. Three-Legged Fox just put out a new thing.
Yeah.
So for a person like me who I don't know a lot about Spotify, what are some basic things that we could, that someone could, you know, what's the first step getting your music under someone like TuneCore or CD Baby, so there's a distribution.
Well, yeah, that's it. Yep, that's the first step, I guess, is pick a distributor. There are a lot of them. We've just always used CD Baby since the beginning. And I like them because they're really good at finding your royalties and delivering them to you quickly. TuneCore, I think, is another good one that a lot of people I know use. But, I mean, I can't say which is better than the other.
Maybe it also depends on, like, where you live or something, or who your friends are.
CD Baby's just good because it's, like, their time frames are always guaranteed, and you know that it's getting delivered everywhere, and you know that they're collecting for you.
A lot of people say, man, I'm gonna release an album on Spotify. And I'm gonna get paid, and I say, yeah, and I kind of say, sounds easy, but it's not. You know, I mean, it's really not easy, especially I think if you're not touring. Like, say you're a local guy who plays gigs, and you say to yourself, I'm gonna release a CD just because I think. Deep down in there, everyone in this area wants to do a song, and they want people to hear it, and they want people to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, recently for me, I've had to learn stuff about, like, the artwork has to be a certain size, files have to be the WAV file or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more importantly, you have to start building an audience from scratch on Spotify through, you know, I mean, you're the guy. I mean, you know more about this than I do, but like how do you get on a playlist? And people all the time, I think, are asking themselves, why aren't people listening? I put my stuff on Spotify. Why aren't they listening to it? What's an easy answer to that?
Because everybody nowadays puts their music on Spotify, and there's tons and tons of music on Spotify. And, I don't know, really, like, I don't know how you get, there's no way to get more people to listen to your music. Like, if you could just do that, then everybody would do that. But playlist, to me, is really, really important. That's how people just come across your stuff. And nowadays, people listen to Spotify like they listen to the radio, and they have playlists that they subscribe to, and they search for genres of music that they like to listen to. And to get your stuff on one of those playlists, I think, is a big help. And you can do that by paying a company to do it for you, to do a push for you. And I think that's something that everybody should do, is pick your best song or what you think is could be your most popular song and put some money behind it and get somebody to market it to playlist for you.
In addition to pushing the crap out of it on your social media to your... So if you have, like, say you're on Instagram and you have 600 followers or something. I think something that I see... People all the time... joke around with me and Jevons put this yeah, I heard the song, you put it up there like three times in the last like month or mm-hmm. whatever. But the thing that I had to start realizing was I could put the song up there every day. Not every day. Signed up through CD Baby. It's like $10 plus a $5 ISRC fee or whatever it is. Put the song out, got my artwork, I'm happy, bam, it's done. It comes out. It's on. There's a YouTube link and there's a Spotify link.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, I didn't even know how to get the Spotify link
shared.
Yeah. And then I thought, am I going to share this one time and then just, and that's it? No. No. You really have to be, without a 10, say you have 1,000 listeners on Spotify. I mean, that's not easy to get 1,000 listeners on Spotify.
Well, monthly listeners?
Yeah, right. That is a lot. I mean, I have 12 or something, you know? So I think the reason that we're even having this conversation is to say, for me, I wanted to tell everyone, it's okay if you have questions and you don't understand, because I don't understand. And yes, I am probably twice your age if you're watching this, but if you're watching this and you're interested about getting your stuff heard, but skip buying the Marshall stack and promote your song, maybe.
Right, yeah, I think it's always weird to me when people make records or make a single and then they go to market it or do something and then they're like, wait, what, this costs money, this is expensive, now I have to pay $15 for distribution, or they're going to take a percentage of my royalties now because I'm using this distributor. And to me, it's like, if that's your attitude, then, I don't know, why are you even making it in the first place, you know? It's like, that's part of it, that's part of, if you want music to be your business, that comes with costs, and one of those costs is distribution. Selling your product and marketing your product, and you have to be prepared to do that. And I think when people get upset about CD Baby because they take a percentage of your royalties, and it's like, well, have you gotten any royalties yet? So like, let that be a good problem when you start.
That's the thing.
Getting money, you know.
Somebody said to me, "Hey man, what if I did this? What if we did this little thing? I'll call this person." Person G. This guy said, hey, you want to write some songs? You'll write the song, but I'm going to take half the royalties because I got the connections. And I thought right away, hell yeah, I'll do that because I got zero right now.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, also, it's a write-off if you do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tax write-off. If you're not paying taxes and you're a musician, Come on, man. Quit it. You know, I was really surprised myself at all the money I'd spent on t-shirts last year. I had no idea. I spent like $3,000 on t-shirts. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, you know, if you do t-shirts, be prepared to give them away. I mean, if you do CDs, that could be a whole nother section of this conversation, is like actually pressing CDs, because you a lot of the time call them business cards, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool. It costs you like $2 or $4 a CD. You know, like I only did 100 of the kids' album.
Yeah, yeah. Then,
because Kyle's also a studio owner on Hilton Head. Forgot to point that out. He's also a sick engineer, and he's also really mainly to me a producer and a multi-instrumentalist. So if you want to do a project, you want to do a song, you want to do an album, whatever, you can hit up Kyle. But I think still having a printed CD, like at your gigs, you know, there might be an old soul who's 20 years old who just wants to buy the CD. There might be an older person who's into owning CDs. But I think the next part of this conversation is, okay, so you've done a CD and you put it on CD Baby and nothing's happened. And this is why we're sitting here, is, you know, I don't know much about it. And I think it's much better to start in, this is the future. I mean, this is it. Having a music video is important, I think, too. There's a lot of people around here. We worked with Trevor Harden. There's Doug Marshall's got a thing going on. We got other videographers around here. You know, Justin Olt's coming up. And you can also just shoot a video on your phone and just get something. You have to have something
right
first.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, YouTube has become such a big platform for music. And that, it might even be competing, I'm pretty sure it's competing. It might even be more popular than Spotify right now, at least for younger kids. But just to have a way to have your music on the platform of YouTube, you can make a lyrics video, you can pick a bunch of pictures you like, do a photo shoot, get press photos, just have those pictures in the background, and get somebody to make a video that has your lyrics right out as the song plays, just so you can have it be on YouTube in an interesting way. That's important too. That's a major platform.
I think the thing for me, you know, I was in a slump for a while where I had kids, Silicone Sister was killing my, really, like, a lot of my energy was going into that. And I was, like, spending Sunday, Monday, recovering physically from doing that. And then Tuesday, and then I also wasn't trying to write a song. I wasn't thinking about my surroundings. I wasn't thinking about that. And when I met Greg Critchley, we were talking, and he was like, you know, you don't seem like you're very happy, you know. And I think the first step is, if you want to be happy, do this for yourself. Put a song and put it out there. And I personally think resharing is okay. I think, you know, my buddy Michael Rappi up in PA, he's always giving me a hard time. He did all the edits on the Man Crush video. He's a funny guy. He's friends with Ryan Baggett, who's a videographer around here. I forgot to mention, who's for hire. But he, you know, he's always saying like, oh, come on, man, you reshared it. But I don't think there's any rules either. I think sometimes it takes me a while to get to what I'm actually trying to say here. Is like, resharing stuff is, to me, is not a bad idea. Like, you do a video, who else is gonna push it? You got to push it yourself. You're the pusher. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're the promoter. And you know, I just think you don't expect too much to happen right away. I
mean, no, yeah, that's another thing. I always thought, in my experience, to get to like a level, at least for me, to get to the level where I thought like, okay, I think I'm successful. Like, I think that this has been a success. Not that it's anything huge or, you know, I'm making tons of money or I'm famous, but just like to be at a level where I was, you know, proud of what I did, and I thought that it was reaching a lot of people, and I thought that it was successful. I think that takes 10 years. I really do. From the moment you think of what you want to do, you give it a name, and you start putting stuff out, I think it takes 10 years just for it to wade through the muck of everything that's out there and reach an audience and actually start gaining critical mass. I think you have to be prepared to be in it for the long run, and the ability to do that comes with the fact that you're doing it just because you love to do it, not because you want to have songs that are super popular and make tons of money. Like, that's great, but if that's what you're doing it for, you're going to be disappointed, I think, for a while, unless something crazy happens. But that's just...
Sure, I mean, you could have a song, you know, like, if you're promoting it on SoundCloud or something.
Yeah.
I mean, but I feel like that ship has kind of sailed, unless you're maybe, like, a rapper, like those...
Yeah, I never really understood what SoundCloud was supposed to be for. I've never come across people who find music on SoundCloud or listen to music on SoundCloud who aren't musicians themselves. I don't think that's how you reach the general public, but I think it's good to have a SoundCloud page, put your songs on there, and put them on there for free download. That to me what it's
about. I was using it for a little while, and people always said, well, wait, so now I have to create a login.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, you know...
There's a bunch, like Bandcamp and all those, too, are like that. It's just, you have to make it easy for people. But SoundCloud is a good place to put music up, do a live recording of one of your sets, put it on SoundCloud, and put everything you have on SoundCloud, put it for free download. If somebody stumbles across it who's a fan of yours, good for them. They can download it for free. Or, you know, if you meet somebody who wants your music, or... If somebody's
like a fan.
If somebody's asking for links to MP3s, you can have them right there for free download, and it's, you know, it's easy.
Yeah, I think the cool thing these days is Saul Good's been doing this a lot lately at his shows. Hey guys, you can follow me on Instagram, and he's like doing a show, and then, you know, that's great. That you can get followers like immediately at your shows. But what you really want to do is have a place where you can say, I got music up on iTunes. I got music up on Spotify. Because I know a lot of people, the general consensus at my shows these days and my demographic, call it Low Country Boil, because that's mainly where I do original music, you know. So they'll hear this ridiculous song. They're like, hey, is that on iTunes? Hey man, is that on iTunes?
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that's gonna, I feel it shifting to a lot of people are talking about Spotify now, or talking about, well, we're listening to Pandora right now, or, you know, I think people are finding that it's, I think also my buddy Chris Hudak said something important to me yesterday. He said, I don't know, man, like, I don't even know the names of the songs or the artists anymore because the playlists are kind of dominating, but that's where you want to be.
Right.
If you're an artist, you know.
Right. Well, if you want to make money off of your music from the internet, then that's how you do it. That's definitely true, though. Like, Spotify, the playlist, and the streaming radio world, people often are fans of songs that they don't even know the names of, and they don't know who made them. And to me, someone like me, where I am in my life right now, I'm like, that's fine. I don't care if somebody never knows that this single I put out is by the band Three-Legged Fox. If it gets streamed 30,000 times a month, then that's fine.
Right,
fine with it.
But you've already been over so many of these little mountains that, you know, like people, I'm sure a local musician woke up today and right away thought, how do I do this? And I always, the podcast, the Jevcast sort of preaches when I preach. Start small, like make a goal that you can reach, you know. Like people are always saying, like, man, you're killing it, man. You like lost 20 pounds or something. And I'm like, I only wanted to lose 5. And for a guy like me with music, you know, I'm 47. I've got my son's getting ready to college. My daughters are at camp right now. You know, my goals are, man, it'd be really cool if I could get like 1,000 views on a YouTube video. Or, you know, we're always saying, oh, we need to get to 1,000 subscribers. Now if that's a new goal for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but it'd be really fun and cool if it did. You know, I guess we have to believe. You have to believe in yourself,
and you have to give it time. It's just not going to happen right away. And within, say you make a goal that's I want to get 1,000 subscribers. Like, great, that's your big goal at the top. Then have sub goals beneath that that are quantifiable and achievable that you can be proud of yourself for along the way. Like, okay, 1,000 subscribers. So my goal for this week is to comment on 100 other channels videos, like great stuff, you know, because stuff like that, that you might get a refollow from them, you know. So it's like, if I reach out to 100 people and just comment and say that I like it, you know, that's my goal for this week. And you can know that at least you're actively doing something to reach out and try and get more followers. It's stuff like that, you know.
I haven't even done this yet.
I just think, like, I think it's way more manageable when you just set small, achievable goals or tasks for yourself that are part of getting done what you want to get done. If you want to make a record, which a lot of people want to make records, like whole albums, you know, and that's really, really hard thing to do. Set small goals, you know. I want to have a new song written by next week. I want to have 10 songs written in 3 months, you know. And then, I don't know, just start from there.
Yeah, I think more and more, it's really fun. I've been putting out a lot of stuff. I've been feeling like, you know, I'm going to put stuff out. And part of me is just, I'm kind of doing it. Like, I think looking, if I was to look at myself, part of me does it sort of to piss people off in a way. Like, because I hear so much crap from people saying, oh, man, I'm going to put something out soon. And I'm just like, cool, man, or woman, cool woman, you know, you should. Because this is your time right now. You're 27 years old and you're hot. I mean, you look good, your voice is good, or if you're a dude, like, you got that perfect, like, neckline and your hair's all there. Now is it, I mean, really. I mean, it might sound a little funny, but do it. Don't, and then when you don't talk about it, guess what? Old Man River over here is going to put out another song. I mean, and I do think, you know, obviously I don't do it to piss people off, but I do, I feel better about myself, and then here's my goal. Put it out and that's it.
Yeah.
Put it out and that's it, you know? Yeah. I mean, I want to know more about what to do next and be real about it. Like, you know, I do want to go to, I do comment on videos sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'll see something and people will give a thumbs down to a video and I'm saying, you're on your couch.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, my father always says, Jevin, you know, when you get on stage, you know, you're putting yourself out there and you're asking for criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. With that comes more praise all the time. But when you get criticized, you're like, hey man, you know, but it feels good to have criticism too. It's good for you.
Yeah.
So you guys just did the Three-Legged Fox single.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your buddy who you wrote it with.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down. So let's preface just really quickly how it happened. And realistically, like, we'll talk about the whole process. So what's his name?
Corey.
Corey, right. So you guys were talking and you said, hey man, let's do a new tune.
Yeah.
Let's give people something new, even though we're not touring anymore. There's people out there that might have, they're having a baby now, or they got married, or they're missing you guys.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Or just for you guys to get together to do something. I mean, why do people write songs? You know, that kind of thing. Take us through.
Take us on a journey.
Okay, well, I mean, to be 100% honest about why we did that, we make okay money monthly from Spotify, and we wanted to make more money every month from Spotify, so the best way to do that is to put more music on Spotify. And realistically, he lives in Philly and I live down here, so we figured we could get, you come down, we get together, we write one song, we produce it, we put it out, we promote it, and we just try and just add to the pot, try and add more fuel to the fire. We don't want to tour anymore or really do anything like that. So this is pretty much like for the money, to be honest with you.
Sure, I mean, but still, okay. That's why we go to do.
But
gigs.
That's like,
why we do.
Right.
Gigs.
That was our goal. You know.
Right. But to get
the checks up. But I mean, we love it. He and I have been writing music together since high school. And we both love production. And it just seemed like enough time had passed since we put out our last record. And we just wanted to get back in the studio and do another track. And we're gonna do another one next month.
Yeah, it's wild, you know, for people who are listening who don't know what production is, I think we all maybe have an idea of what production is, but, you know, you really don't, until you are having a conversation, like when we first started doing stuff, it was this song, Little Something Something, mm-hmm. where I had an idea. I think it was actually inspired by... not Snarky Puppy, but Volfpack. So I heard Volfpack and heard some young local musicians. This is why I did this. Sort of the same kind of thing that you have with your dude, with Corey. You know, it's kind of like, what's my goal here? My goal is to kind of do a local funk tune. So I said, well, I'm a local funk bass player and no one even knows it. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm pretty funky sometimes. So I did this demo at my house. I have very simple recording gear. And I did this. And then I think a lot of people around this area equate Fred with the funk. They think Fred has the funk. And you know what? He does. Mm-hmm. So, and Fred and I had done some stuff with Greg Critchley, actually, where we'd done some demos and stuff and gone to the studio and sung or whatever. He came over here and did some stuff. And Fred's always down to do something. I mean, we're both busy right now, but like in the wintertime, we always talk. We've done several songs together. And I said, cool, man. So I didn't even know you really at the time. And Whitley or somebody told me, dude, Jevin. And, you know, Whitley and I have, like, had our little thing over the years where we're a little competitive or whatever. Or we, you know, maybe one thinks the other one's totally full of shit or we think, you know, whatever. We used to play volleyball against each other and, like, have words. It was awesome. He was like, dude, man, I'm in the studio trying to do my album, dude. And, like, Kyle played How Much I'm on the Bench, like, 8 times. I'm in there trying to do my album. And I was like, what? Why? And you know, and then somebody else said they were over there, like Zach Stevens was over there or something. And he's like, where can I hear this song? So fast forward to now, it took so many hours for you to get that song. Because first of all, my stuff was not played perfectly. And I sent you the bass and I sent you the guitar and I sent you the vocals. When these guys go, when people like him, this person over here, when you do this thing, everything is cut up. I'm talking about production now, like everything's cut up, and then you build these things called comps, where you build the best vocal, and then you make that maybe every chord you're cutting and paste. It's like, it's so cool, but I don't really think I have the patience. this is your art. This is another part of you that people maybe don't know about, is 30 hours in or 40 hours in, and you've listened to the song, like, you've listened to a section of it, like, 78 times. You've listened to the song 600 times. You're living with this song for, like, weeks. You know, why wouldn't, I think, to preface all this stuff, why wouldn't you give that baby some diapers? Why wouldn't you give that baby, like, a nice house? You know, like, once you've spent all this time on it, oh, you're just going to put it on YouTube and that's it?
Right.
You're not are you proud of that? Share it. Put it. Send it to your friend in Nevada. Send it to your... I mean, you have to keep coming back and saying, I am proud of you, to this little baby.
Yeah, right.
To this project that you spent this one song. And I really think the one song thing is... it's a really neat thing, because where we live, where everyone says, I don't want to oversaturate. I mean, what do you think about that when people say?
I think that's important too. I've always felt that way. I think that that comes just from, like, touring and having a booking agent. And we always had radial clauses where, you know, we would have a show coming up in Richmond or something. And the radial clause is that you're not allowed to play within, you know, 40 miles of that club 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after, because...
then you're cut your audience.
Right, the people in that region should be going to that club to see that show. And so that's just, like, kind of a philosophy that I always carried with me about shows. And, you know, to make a distinction between shows and gigs, here for a living, I play gigs every day. Play gigs. I play at restaurants, and I play cover songs and play some of my original songs. But I don't go on Facebook and make an event for each one of those, or, like, try and get as many people as I can to each one, because I want to save that for my shows, for when I'm selling tickets.
I mean, the roasting room.
Right, under a band name where it's original music and it's an original show. So I want to save. I think that. If I'm posting about every gig that I'm doing or telling everybody, then when I actually want or need people to come out and buy tickets, it's gonna...
it's crying wolf.
Yeah, it'll... yeah. Right. It'll pass right by.
Yeah, that's... that hurts.
Yeah, right.
You know, because... but when you get to that night... I mean, I'd never really... I'd traveled and I had played... we had... you know, we developed audiences in, like, places like Valdosta, Georgia, back in, like, this is, like, 99, 97, 98, 99. When we would go to Chapel Hill, we would have a little group, you know, or whatever. But now, you got to be careful, and I think it's important to maybe... I don't know. It's so cool, though, when you get to that show, you're like, it's January, and you're like, you got a show in April, you know, and you're like, you start promoting it in February or whatever, and you start talking about it a little bit, you announce it a couple times, and then as the show's coming closer, you start hyping it up, maybe you do like a, maybe you re-release, you reshare some old stuff, and you're like using it. I mean, I think then that's where you need a video.
Right, or some new material.
You guys did that. You guys did City of the Queen on like a local... someone shot a video of you guys. You guys were out, like, in the marsh somewhere.
Yeah, we did Home Country, too. That was for WSBF,
I Savannah?
Think. No, it was these kids from, I think, Clemson? Mm-hmm. A college around here. And... I think they reached out to us. I don't remember. The High Divers did one too. They do a bunch of them. And it's such great production and such a good look. And they come out and they do it for free, because I think it's part of their curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So we jumped on that. And they actually came down to do Home Country. And City of the Queen is a song that I also released on a Three-Legged Fox record. So I figured while we were there with the cameras and the sound equipment, let's do this. This is a crossover, pretty darn Three-Legged Fox thing, and so that I could have content for Three-Legged Fox to release to YouTube as well. So that's why we did City of the Queen also.
Yeah. Which is a great song, which you see, you know, get a lot of people
Yeah.
A lot of people know that song.
A lot of people request that.
Yeah.
At my gigs, even.
And you wonder, first of all, how do they know this song? You know, I mean, first of all, it's a well-written song. I mean, did you write that song? Is that purely something you did by yourself? You didn't you didn't ask anyone? You didn't, like, send it out to any of your test audience? I mean, do you think a test audience is important?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Like a friend or three friends or a fellow musician or your mom.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Send it to your mom.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, especially when you're working on a song for like 5 days straight from writing to arrangement to production, you start to get so close that you're like inside of it and it's hard to objectively listen to it without all these. You kind of have, when you start the process, you have these ideas in your head. And by the end of it, you're like, am I just sticking to these ideas because they were my ideas or because they were still good ideas? So I think it's important to, you know, don't send it to everybody, but people whose opinions you respect and that will give you actual good constructive criticism, not just like, oh, I don't like this, or this song is great. You know, that doesn't help.
It's tough. I think, you know, all that comes with.
And you take it with a grain of salt, you know. Right. It's, take it as you want to take it, but it's still good to have people's opinions. Really, everything that I ever do or I ever write, I play for my wife before I decide anything, because I love her opinion, and she's not a musician, and I think that that's important too. Like, she represents to me just like fan of music, a listener of music.
Both our wives have sung on CDs we've done.
Yeah, yeah.
She can't get on there and like start. She's right. Not a producer.
Yeah, well,
she's not an engineer. Mm-hmm. But she's also not a working musician. She can sing. You've heard her sing. You just don't know it. You know, go listen to I Am Then I Am.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what she's on? Mm-hmm. And maybe another track. But I was going to say too, I was waiting for my little chance to jump in there and say that my wife is my harshest critic.
Yeah.
My wife tells me stuff, you know, that no one else will tell me.
Yeah.
And my wife always says to me, I don't want to tell you what I think of this song, or I don't want to tell you what I think of this idea. You know, I leave stuff, like she'll pick stuff up and there's like, sharks are people too, or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, she'll text me and be like, please don't tell me you're trying to write a song called Sharks Are People Too. You know, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes I will do it to sort of not spite her, but I want to show. Sometimes I want to prove people wrong and say, this can be written. You know, I can write a song about a shark and make it work, or an older guy. I mean, look at me, man. Come on, you know, this isn't supposed to be working. But I put myself out there for years, and I say stuff. I just say what's on my mind or whatever, and I'm trying to learn like everybody else. I'm trying to learn, you know, I feel like I'm kind of like tardy to the party, but I won't stop. I'm not stopping either, and you shouldn't either. I mean, you should take people's advice if somebody's successful. I mean, it's one thing to talk about doing it, but just, you say you did something, just send it to me. And if you, I don't want to tell you what I think, but don't say you got all this stuff going on. Like, you know, if you want to do a show at Caligny Theater, if you want to do a show at the Tiki Hut, or if you want to do a show at the Roasty Room, or you want to do like a, you're going to sub, I need a sub. Can you just send me a video? I don't have a video. That's the wrong. Pick up your phone, get iMovie, or if you have a Samsung or Android, there's other. Whitley said, I don't use iMovie, I use something else. And he made some videos, you know, of himself and put them up. And if you put it up there and you do it, what is it like? I thought it was Sunday and Wednesday, but you know, I mean, I'm still trying to learn all this stuff. But if you're afraid to share it, and stuff like that. That's part of the process.
Yeah.
You do that one song, and then 6 months later, or a year, sometimes it takes a year to do three songs, or you worked hard for a year and you do 8 songs or 10 songs and you put it out, you know, it has to be on Spotify. You can't just press a CD anymore.
Yeah.
Because this is how I want to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also need it to sound good on this, unfortunately, mm-hmm. or my thing.
Yeah.
My little speaker. You gotta give it time. Like I always say, 5 years. Like if I want to learn how to play badminton, it's gonna take me 5 years, yeah. 3 to 5 years.
Right.
But with music, like you're saying, and Ryan Baggett said something to me on my back porch one day. He said, "You don't even know with your, you know, because we were kind of like, I was kind of poking, I was self-deprecating. Like, oh, stupid hats I make, oh, so dumb." And he's like, "You don't even know though what you're, you can't even see what you're doing." But he goes, I'm a marketing guy. He just started a business called I Am Marketing Man or something. He's out on his own now. Hashtag I Am Marketing Man. You're welcome. And he said, you can't see it, you know. And to everyone that doubts themselves a little bit, I want to say, if we put out our Daily Planet album 23 years ago, and people say, "Hey man, I popped that in because, you know, my kids were asking about like what Hilton Head music was like in the 90s and like, or they had like Martin Lesh's Bambino album or something, or they had a Moondaz album, you know, or they had a board tape from the old post office." But it's like going through life, and then we're all kind of normal. You're getting married and you have a kid or something, and then next thing you know, you're 38 or you're 42, and you sometimes that's when the music's gonna mean something again. It's gonna come back around, but We are in this new whole paradigm of listening, consumption, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's you got to do your research, you know, and you have to show other, and you also have to shine the light on other people. I think too. Like I think something that's made me feel good is when you did like something, say you said, "Hey man, you know, let's do a song together or something." And my immediate reaction was, when I got home, was to share something you did. And, you know, unfortunately on social media, I've noticed that when I share something I did, it'll get looks, because people are looking for my stuff.
Right.
When you share something that you've done, people are going to say, you know, and they're going to reshare it. Typically, when I share other people's stuff, it's harder, but sometimes it's just a little piece, it's a little thing I can do to, like, show some local love and, like, say, "Hey, man, check this dude out," or a picture of, like, when I go see shows at the Roasting Room, or I try to go to a lot of those, just because I feel like we need more local people playing there,
mm-hmm.
and it feels so good when you get up there and you hit that first chord or whatever, or you sing that first note and you look out and you see all your friends and your support people and, you know, you hear the sound and you look around. I mean, it feels pretty good. It is a good feeling, you know.
Yeah, I like those trophies too.
My wife actually put, I don't know if you guys can see it, but
yeah.
My wife actually put my trophy. Those trophies, it's a little thing.
It's great.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, you know, I've now kind of, for a long time, I've written songs for venues,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know that if I write a song about this, it'll work there or whatever. And I've pretty much kind of resigned to the fact that this song is for the Roasting Room. This song is, I can get away with, like, people will listen to me sing about being a clown in a quiet voice at this place. And at the last show I did there, it got the best response. I was kind of surprised. I was, wow, this actually worked. I set out with a kind of an idea for this song. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's creepy. It's quiet. It's,
yeah. I think it's important for people, even at your gigs, to at least have like your 1, 2, or 3 original songs that you're going to play every gig, no matter what. And it doesn't matter if you feel like nobody's listening, because maybe one person is. And then after you play it, you say, thanks, I wrote that song. You can listen to it on Spotify and iTunes under this name. And you just do that every gig, no matter what. You just play that song, even if it's just one, every gig. Don't be afraid, because especially here on Hilton Head, if you talk about not touring, it doesn't really matter because you live on a tourist-based island. So you have, what, 200,000 different people cycling every week in the summertime that are touring to you. And then they take your music back home with them to Michigan or Ohio or Wisconsin or whatever. And it's like, you know, don't be afraid, because you're playing your 3.5 minute song one time in a 3 hour span while they're there eating dinner. It's like, just do it. Just play it. And maybe one person will come up afterwards and say, hey, that song you wrote, that original song, that was great. Where can I listen to that again? And that's a win. You know, that's, you got somebody. And then if they tell 10 people who tell 10 people who tell 10 people, you don't have to tour if you live here.
I think that's an important thing too, that we have definitely talked about in a very serious way, is not giving up on that song.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I wrote this song Hiding in the Moonlight in 2002. And, people come up to Caligny, you know, this is my life. People come up to Caligny and go, hey, can you play these two songs? And it's Born in the Low Country and it's Hiding in the Moonlight. And they haven't heard the Strings and Envy album we did. They don't know the One Millionth Beer song. They don't know, you know, and they don't know the new album. And I'm really proud of the new album, but it's new.
Mm-hmm.
It just came out last year. So in our quest to force our I kind of feel like sometimes I force my music down people's throats or down their ears or whatever. People are going to do it. You can post all you want. I can't tie you down and make you listen to the song. So Roger came to Hilton Head and he liked the song, and then he goes home. You know, like when you guys went to North Carolina and that place was playing, they were playing your whole album or something, weren't they? At a coffee shop or something?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's such a huge thing. Like, what? That's crazy. But someone there heard it. Maybe they heard it through a playlist. Maybe they heard it because they came down here. We don't, you have to splinter off and you have to disperse your stuff, and you've got to play it at your shows, because let's not forget, the most important part about live music is that no matter how bad sometimes music is, you know, live music is usually, there's always something. Like, say someone's new and they're not even really that accomplished. They haven't done 3,000 shows. They haven't done 300 shows. But there's something about live music sometimes that it's the most important. You forget, like, I take for granted a lot of the times about, like, just a guy with a guitar. And, like, how when the bugs are making their noise and the river's, like, lapping at the sawgrass or whatever, and you're up there playing your guitar, and people are like, it's like, sometimes you gotta put yourself in their place. Like, that's the magic they're here for, you know? You gotta play your song. So I think that maybe is one of the most important things that we could maybe leave everyone with, is, sure, make an album. There's people around here that you can make your album with. You can record your stuff at home and you could have someone mix it. That's what I was doing for a while. You know, these people aren't hard to find. If you're a local musician, or if you're someone, maybe you're just a mom or a dad who you want to do a project. You want it, like, yeah, I wrote a song a long time ago about golf. You can find someone. Put your feelers out there. But the most important thing, I think, to, you know, the message that I have for the local musicians is, get behind your song and, you know, if you spent time on it, it's worth something. I mean, if you've, And also, like, if you want help with it, you know, if you want help with, like, the songwriting part of it, or you want help, you know, with the production part of it, or you want help, like, you want to just go somewhere and record it, I mean, man, come on, dude. There's some state-of-the-art there's places around here you can do that. I mean, you know, like, thank God. So, is there anything you wanted to say before we wrap it?
I think that the most important thing that you can do if you make original music and you want people to listen to it, is to release it. I think that too often people talk themselves out of putting their music out there because, oh, they don't like this mix, or this, the song has changed since they wrote it and recorded it. It's like, that's fine. Stuff can always change, but release it. Just, if you recorded it in any fashion, just release it. And then if you put a song out and you're wondering how to promote it, sometimes the best way to promote stuff that you put out is to put out more stuff. Now that we have Spotify, it's like a photo album for all your music. So every time you put out something new, you send people to your Spotify to listen to your new track that you're currently promoting, and all your other tracks are there. And you'll, by default, probably get some listens to your older stuff. So in the time that you spend worrying about how you're going to promote this one song, you spend a whole year going, why is nobody listening? Why is nobody listening? How do I find out? How do I get this one song? You could have put 10 other songs out.
Yep.
So I think that is the fastest way, I think, to any kind of success in original music, is to release material.
Yeah. Don't get bummed out if no one's lit, you know. Don't get bummed out if you don't get 100 likes or 10 shares if you put a video out or something right away.
Yeah, that one video or that one track is a tiny little piece of the puzzle.
You've got to have, you know, I mean, when somebody reads Harry Potter, it's like they want to they want to read all the books. I don't even know how many there are. Harry Potter's not my thing, but like there's 7 books. I know. There's 7 books, and like I think that when people hear a song from you guys, they want to hear another one.
Right.
And then they want to hear another one. And then, you know, I mean, I think we've got to get more people around here kind of putting stuff out, get a perspective. The thing that hurts me the most about songwriting is, I didn't get it again. Like, I didn't get it down the right way. I love it. I mean, I've had to kind of say, good job.
Mm-hmm.
You did something. You know, you wrote another song, but it wasn't the way I envisioned it. It didn't come out the way I wanted it. But it's followed sort of a style or whatever. Like, I've got a little style. I like to write 3-chord songs. I like to write funny songs. That's me. That's what I like to do. And over the years, I figured out, like, I tried to get away from it for a while, you know, and I came back to it, and I thought to myself, this is who you are, man. Stop trying to, like, who are you off stage? Sometimes you can ask yourself, too, like, what kind of conversation, like, where do you, what's your, sometimes, you know, like the be chill like Gary hats, you know, like Gary's music is chill. Gary's music is like that vibe, you know, like your guy's vibe is a very serious, you know, like when I was watching you guys, the Roast Room, man, it was like, I was like in a trance. I was like, after the song, I was like, whoa, like, where am I? Whoa, where, you know, you guys had this repetitive chorus thing happening, and very melodic and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, yeah, this has been cool. Kyle is on Instagram as Kyle Legged Fox, mm-hmm. at Kyle Legged Fox. And you can check out 3-Legged Fox on Spotify. And I mean, it's still on iTunes, I would imagine.
Yeah,
Apple Music is going to be taking over soon. And Pretty Darn is coming out with a new song soon.
Yep.
Pretty Darn. And signing off, I am Jevin Daly. Don't forget to click subscribe. Don't forget to hit the little bell to get the notifications when we do something new. This has been Jevcast 7. Rhymes with Jevin. Thanks, guys. On the outro, you will be listening to Black Rock T-shirt produced by Kyle Wareham. I forgot to mention that. You produced the Black Rock T-shirt song. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Cool. So now you guys just get up and walk away. Oh, yeah. Laugh or something. Like, you guys have a good time.
Well, we did have a good time because we talked about doing, you know, at the beginning I thought we were going to forget a lot of those things. Like how important it is to
rock. Black rock T-shirt. Black rock. Black rock T-shirt. Black rock. Black rock. Black rock. Rock. T-shirt.
No, that's good. I'm like really afraid. I'm not.
No, you didn't. I know. Well, I know, but if anyone, the thing is though, it's like you can back it up by all it is you're not saying, like, you're not being a dick saying, I mean, I was surprised.